Hello, you guys, and welcome back to another episode of Talks with Tori, the podcast. I am so excited, as always, as I say every single week for this episode. You guys saw this episode is with my girl, Michelle Reed, and she is such a joy. We met her when we were first kind of getting into the YouTube game, and it has been so beautiful to watch her life blossom. And now she is pregnant with her first baby. And we just love, Chad and I love her and her husband Aiden so much. And easygoing, easy to talk to. And just, I feel like she embodies the peace of the Lord. Like when I watch her vlogs, her videos, I don't miss one. It just like gives me this sense of calm, the sense of peace. And so highly recommend you guys going and checking her out on YouTube and on Instagram. She's a joy to follow. But anyways, in true Talks with Tori fashion, I just want to encourage you guys just for a moment. I will tell you, Ephesians is just packed with so much goodness, you guys. I was in chapter 4 today, and I'm going to read you a couple verses because I feel like they really spoke to me. So chapter 4, verses 12 through 15, says this. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will be no longer immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. And then the next section is living as children of light. And verse 22 says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And what I really want to kind of tune in on here is that we are called to live as children of light. And there is so much darkness in the world. And so what do we do? How do we live? How do we speak? How do we think that equips us to live differently, to live set apart, to live as children of light? It makes me so sad when I hear people who don't know of Christ but have Christian friends, and they say, well, they're no different. Like, they don't live any differently. So, you know, what's different about them? It's like, no, you guys, we should look different. We should have peace that makes no sense in hard circumstances. We should have a faith and an eternal hope that gives us joy when it makes no sense. There are ways in which we should live differently because we watch different things. We hang out at different places. We live differently because we are children of the light. We are no longer in love with the things of the world, but we love that which God loves. I want to pray for the things that God's heart breaks for, and I want to truly live like his child, right? Like, I want Micah to live a certain way because he's my child and I'm raising him in the way in which he should go, right? Like, so he is my child, and I would hope that he takes on certain ways that I am teaching him to live. And so we as children of a heavenly Father who has given us his word, who has given us instruction on the way in which we are to live, the way in which we are to go, it should look different than if we're living the way that the world is telling us to go. And that one verse where it says, we will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever, they sound like the truth. But y'all, it just sounds like the truth. It is not the actual truth. And so we have to be so equipped. We have to be so grounded, so rooted in God's word, in God's truth, so that we're not tricked, so that we're maturing in Christ, so that we are learning his ways, that we're learning about his heart. And man, y'all, we're not going to know what God wants us to do. We're not going to know who we are. We're not going to know how he wants to use us if we're not in relationship with him, if we don't actually know who he is, not just know who God is, but know him, be in relationship with him. And reading his word is a great place to start. And so anyways, highly recommend Ephesians. And also just before we jump into the conversation with Michelle, I just want to thank you guys. I actually went through last night and read some of your reviews that you left over on Apple Podcasts, and it just warmed my heart. Like truly, it gave me such a faith boost that these podcasts are leaving you guys encouraged and that you feel like you are sitting with us having this conversation, because that's the goal. That's the prayer. And so if you haven't taken time to leave a review or a star rating, that would mean so much to me if you just take a second to do that. It just helps more people find the podcast. If any of them encourage you and you want to share it with a girlfriend, or maybe get a girlfriend and watch them together, I think that would be so fun. And when you tag over on Instagram and actually see like your setup and how you are watching Talks with Tori, especially when you're watching on YouTube, it like makes me feel like I'm in the room with you guys. And that just brings me so much joy. I appreciate that. And then also, if you are not already subscribed to our email list, I am going to leave a little link for you guys in the description, because there are some things that we're working on behind the scenes, and the email list will be the first to know. We will not spam you. We haven't even sent out one email yet. It's just we want to make sure that we have your emails so that when there's information to share, you'll be the first to know. So anyways, love you guys, and let's jump into the conversation. Yay. Okay, I'm literally so excited. I feel like we have not talked in like months, or I don't feel like we've had a legit conversation since you got pregnant. And
oh yeah.
How are you feeling? Like you are how many weeks at this point?
So I'm 36 weeks when I'm recording this. I'll be 37 on Saturday. So we're nearing the finish line. And I always think it's so crazy because I'm pretty sure this baby was conceived like a few days after you guys were in Dallas. Crazy. And we got dinner, and that was like y'all's first little date night out. Because I was going back through my photos and I was like, wait a second, that was right around the same time. So, and it's been just a whirlwind so quick. Everyone tells you it goes by so quickly, but it has been so crazy fast. And yeah.
And now you're here. How are you feeling nervous, excited, confident? Like, how are you feeling about the actual like birth process?
I was telling Aiden yesterday that I feel like each day it just changes so much. Mm-hmm. I think a couple months ago, I definitely started feeling a lot more just fear and anxiety. And it felt a lot more real about like, oh my goodness, this baby is coming out one way or the other.
You're like, it has to come out.
I think I was, And you know the thing, whenever you ask people about their experiences, you get a lot of positive, but also a lot of negative stories. And I think I was letting a lot of those things influence me. Mm-hmm. But it's crazy, the past couple of weeks, I've just felt an immense amount of peace from the Lord about the whole situation. And as we're creating our birth plan and all of that, just really trusting God in the whole process. And even, you know, as you lead up to delivering, they're really checking on baby's position. And
yes,
I've been going to the chiropractor too. And sometimes I'll get a little in my head, like, oh, he's facing too much this way or this way. And
if
I've kind of let that stuff
yeah,
go.
If you're 36 weeks, the baby still has time. I don't think that Micah got into position mm-hmm. until 37 weeks for me. Like, I think 38 weeks, he was still sideways. Like, his feet were kicking this side and his head was on this side. But then, like, 2 hours later, he's like the opposite, where his feet are over here and his head's over here. And I'm like, how'd you even get around? But he was like a little wiggle worm. And so then he finally.
Well, that's why I had asked my chiropractor, because I'd kept feeling kicks only on just one side. And my midwife, she had told me that he's head down and everything, but I was like, I feel like he's sideways because I'm only feeling it on one side. And she's like, no, he's definitely head down. He just tilted a little bit, but she gave me like a few different stretches and stuff to do. But she's like, you're 36 weeks. You have time. He's gonna do what he has to do. And if he doesn't, then that's okay too. It'll all work out.
No, it does. And I feel like this point, and this is just from someone who I feel like I kind of went in with unrealistic expectations, or I was just uninformed. Like I read some of the books. I got like a fourth of the way through. I feel like four different books. Like, I never finished one of them. And I don't know. It was almost like I had only read the positives. And it wasn't, I feel like I wasn't even aware that a lot of women's first births just take longer. Like, I remember for me, after my water broke and my midwife came over, but I wasn't in active labor yet. And she told me, like, are you upset that it's not going to be like the day you wanted it to be? And I was like, what do you mean? Today is the day I want it to be. And she was like, sweetheart, I don't think you're having this baby today. Like, and I was like, what do you mean I'm not having this baby today? Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, it was like 30 something hours later that I had Micah. Yeah. And I was laughing about this with my girlfriend yesterday, because I got so attached to the birthday, because it was just like a cute birthday. Like, the due date was 11/11/22.
Yeah, because we have the same. Yes. That's fine too. Yep.
Yes. And so I was like, 11/11/22. That's so cute. And so we go into labor and then it doesn't happen. I'm like, okay, it's fine, because 11/12/22 is still cute. It's 1/1/1/2/2/2, still cute. And then the kid comes an hour and 20 minutes into 11/13/22. And I was like,
it's crazy.
What is this? What is God trying to teach me in this, in this little, situation here? And then yesterday, I realized that Micah's due date is April 6th of 2024. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, if he came 2 days early, it would be 4/4/24. And Chad was like, babe, don't even. You're right.
He says, not this again.
Not this again.
Yeah, I feel like I'm almost the opposite, in that I like to have all the information. And so we took this 4-week birth class, and I've read all the books, and even I really trust my mom throughout this whole process. And she was telling me, she's like, you can only take in so much advice and information. And then it just gets to a point where you trust God in the whole process, and it's going to be what it's going to be.
And it's going to be
according
yours.
To how he wants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Every single birth, every single person, it's a different story for everyone. And so I think, if we can just wrap our heads around that, because I feel like I'm kind of even doing that, or I will struggle with doing that in terms of like, oh, well, I hear that second babies just fly on out, you know, like, and so I'm like, okay, well, hopefully that's our experience. And then I have to remind myself it's going to be a unique experience, because it's my experience. It's not going to be like anyone else's experience, because it's me and it's our child and it's no one else's. And so I think is the quicker I can like surrender to that and be at peace with that and get out of my head about it, the less anxious I'll feel. I haven't felt, and I'm curious to know about you. I had extreme anxiety the first trimester with Micah, and I have not experienced that at all with this baby. Do you feel like you experienced anxiety? Like, I know you mentioned it briefly, but like throughout the pregnancy journey?
I honestly expected to feel that way a lot more than I did, especially in that first trimester, because just throughout my life in general, that's definitely been a pattern of something that I struggle with. And just kind of thinking about the worst case scenario. And Aiden is so good for me, such a good match for me, because he's always telling me, he's like, do you ever just think about what if this goes, you know, the best way possible? It's not always. Yeah. I'm like, no, but then I like to be pleasantly surprised if it goes. But I'm like, that's not fully trusting God if you're just always expecting the worst case scenario. And I mean, it is a huge reality, though. That first trimester is just really scary. But I almost tried to lean into a lot of just the feeling extremely nauseous and sick, and kind of trust that as my body's doing what it's going to, you know, do to support this baby. Of course, a lot of women don't experience those symptoms and their babies are perfectly healthy. But instead of seeing that as, oh my goodness, this is so difficult, which it is, and it's totally okay to acknowledge that. But instead to just not take that for granted and accept that it was just a part of the process. And I think just in general, I had heard so many women have really, really difficult pregnancies. And that too is a huge reality. But for me, I'm so, so thankful that it has just been such a beautiful experience. And even I remember I would hear women talk about loving pregnancy and loving all the changes. And I thought that they were kind of crazy. And I mean, of course, it's a beautiful thing bringing life into this world. But it's like to actually love it, that seems a little bit crazy. But I can say I'm like, I'm one of those people. It has just been such a positive experience. And I think I'm trying to bring that same frame of mind into labor and delivery. And I almost caught myself like a couple days ago. I started to feel almost a little bit excited, obviously, to meet him, because it's crazy when they've just been in the womb for so long and you have no idea what they're going to be like. But just the whole process of bringing a baby into this world, I think, is obviously, I mean, you know, more than me, a very difficult thing, but it's also a really beautiful thing. So
it is. I mean, it's the closest earthly experience that's like from death to life, because there were moments, because mine was a more brutal process. And I think going back, we just learned so much. Like, we learned so much. And I think that gives me a lot of confidence and peace going into the next one as well, of like, oh, had I known, certain things would have made this go a little faster, certain things would have made this a little bit easier, et cetera. But I do remember there were moments there towards the end, because I hadn't slept in 48 hours. And and that was my fault, because they told me to rest and I didn't. Because I thought,
I'm just like, how could you rest when that's what we had our doula over this weekend. She was like, when you start feeling everything, go lay down, take a nap. And I'm like, I'm going to be so excited and your body's running off adrenaline.
Literally,
I totally get why it would be hard.
Literally me, but listen to them. It is the hardest advice to listen to. I have a girlfriend of mine who's a couple days past her due date now. And I can tell she's getting a little bit anxious, and I'm like, you just need to rest. And she's like, honestly, it's hard to rest because I'm so uncomfortable. Like, this baby's so big. And it's funny sometimes the advice that you hate getting, because I remember even in our trying to conceive journey, when people would be like, just stop stressing about it. And I'm like, can you not tell me that? Like, that is the most annoying thing for me to hear, because obviously, like, it's our greatest desire. We want to have babies. Like, don't tell me not to think about it. Like, of course I'm going to think about it and pray about it. And it's tough. And then too, towards the end of pregnancy, when people are like, just rest, just surrender, just let it go. And I'm like, it's so hard. And I think that's really when you have to lean into the Lord and be like, okay, God, in my own strength, I can't. Like, in my own strength, I'm not going to be able to rest. In my own strength, I can't surrender this. But in your strength, I can. Mm-hmm. And so like leaning in and pressing in to his goodness and his peace and his strength in those moments is something I wish I would have done more of. But yeah, it is hard, but I do encourage you to take the advice and like rest as much as possible, because once the baby does come, it's a whole new experience.
Oh yeah.
And do you have your maternity leave like all set up? Do you feel good about it?
I do. It is that thing though, that, I mean, with what we do, it is also the busiest time of year for, you know, working with brands and doing stuff like that. And I'm just the kind of, and this is probably my biggest thing that I've struggled with throughout my life, just being such a workaholic and wanting to, you know, seize every opportunity and finding a lot of my worth and the success of that.
Yeah.
And especially with this job, it's so correlated to how many people are watching you and subscribing and following. And I think that's something with motherhood. And I know this is going to be a whole different journey in of itself, but I'm thankful that I'm going to have something that I just know I'm going to love so much more and just feel such a different level of purpose being a mom and not having work be my only thing. And of course, I'm a wife right now. I'm a friend. I'm a sister. But I just know that motherhood is going to change me in such a different way that
it will.
I'm excited to not have that focus. And Aiden's been really good for me because he's like, nope, you're not taking any more. You said this is what you're taking and this is what you're not taking. And I'm really excited because I, you know, since I was in high school, I've never not worked. So it's just crazy to be able to rest and learn how to be a mom. I think a lot of my fear and anxiety surrounds more kind of postpartum and what that experience is going to be like.
In what way?
Versus I think just learning how to take care of a newborn, like in a simple way as that. I've babysat and I have so many different nieces and nephews, but it's so different when it's yours. Physically your child. And I keep talking about how we're like, what is that first night going to be like when we bring him home from the hospital? And we're like, oh my goodness, we are in charge of taking care of this child. And I think it's going to be a whole new level of learning to trust God. And I know a lot of people, like I talk about finding my identity in work, but I know a lot of people do that with motherhood too, and just comparing themselves to other moms and just that whole journey. But
if I can encourage you in any way, especially when it comes to those beginning weeks, I feel like I questioned my maternal instincts a lot, and I wish I hadn't have. I feel like I thought I had to do things a certain way, and I felt like I ran to Google before I ran to God, and I really regret that. And I know that I'll do that differently with baby two, because there is so much information, and it can be the smallest thing, like your baby just struggling with some gas because the latch is kind of off, right? And so it can be so little, but I got so worried. And I just think that those first few weeks, especially with your firstborn, because they are like, that's all consuming, right? Like I already know with baby two, it's going to be different because Micah's here already. And so Micah still needs attention and love and taking care of. And so it's going to be like a little bit of that divide. But truly embracing like the newborn bubble and like not feeling like you have to like sleep train right away or like do this right away and like go by the book right away. It's like embrace those moments and truly like sit in them and enjoy them and get nap trapped and do, you know, like what feels good and what feels right, because you're going to know what your baby needs because your baby's mama. And something else that was really encouraging for me, especially postpartum, I'm sure it's different for different mamas, but when people come over to help, sometimes when baby cries, they want to take baby and be like, oh, like, let me give you a break. I'll take crying baby. And it's like, no. Like baby's crying because baby needs mama, you know, like baby needs me actually. Like if you want to help me with the dishes, like that would be lovely. You know? And so having like what you know that you'll need for visitors, because you have amazing parents, amazing sister, mm-hmm. like you have amazing family that surrounds you, and a lot of them already have kids. So I feel like they probably like mm-hmm. kind of know a little bit of that, like what actually like really matters and is needed in those postpartum seasons, like drop off mm-hmm. a meal that's nourishing. Like, I just think a lot of people mm-hmm. want to come over and meet baby and hold baby, which is totally fine and whatever you're comfortable with. I was very much like, oh my goodness, look how cute he is, hold him, you know, and like that's my personality. But at the same time, I remember it was like postpartum day 3 or 4. And keep in mind, we did a home birth. And so we had family yeah. over the day of, right? Like gave birth at 3 a.m. or something like that. And gave birth at like 1:30 a.m. and everyone left around 3. And then we went to sleep mm-hmm. and then had the morning as a family together and everything. And then that afternoon people were coming over. And I just remember people kept coming over and wanting to meet the baby. And mm-hmm. by like, I think it was day 3 or 4, I'm like, everyone needs to get out. Like, everyone needs to go. I need my house, my mm-hmm. husband, and my baby. And that's like it, right? And
yeah.
Because I did feel like it was a little bit harder for Chad in those couple days too, because he has the gifting of hospitality. And so because people were at mm-hmm. our home, I feel like he wanted to make sure everyone felt comfortable, everyone was fed, everyone like totally. Had all, but like he is going through something that he's never gone through before either. Mm-hmm. And like Aiden's gonna go through something that he's never gone through before either. And so it's such mm-hmm. a transition and it's beautiful for the family. But I think just like being very aware of what you need and not feeling mm-hmm. guilty for stating what you need mm-hmm. in that season is so important. Because I mean, I cried. I was like,
yeah,
I love you all. Everyone needs to go.
And that's crazy to hear from you, because you and Chad are both such extroverts. Like, I'm definitely more of the introvert where I'm like, yeah. I'm gonna have no problem saying that.
Yeah.
But it is, I mean, it's different too, because Aiden, I'm so thankful he gets really, really great paternity leave with his job.
That's awesome.
And so he has a few weeks to take off. But it is that thing of also having, you know, a ton of family too, where you do yeah. want to figure out what this is going to look like, just the two of you. Cause I'm like, yeah. I imagine it would be really difficult going from having all the help from visitors. And mm-hmm. then he goes back to work. I'm like, wait, I'm completely on my own right now trying to figure this out. And so yeah. I feel like that's really, really great advice. And the thing about trusting your instincts, that's what I have a friend who she's like exactly a year ahead too. I guess her daughter's probably the same age around Micah.
Yeah.
And she said, you're just not even going to believe how when they lay that baby on your chest in the hospital or wherever you give birth, mm-hmm. that things just come naturally too. She's like, yeah. you can read all the books, you can do all that. Yeah. But there is an extent where it's like God gives you those maternal instincts yeah. for a reason. You're going to mm-hmm. feel that. And so yeah. relying on that too is something I'm trying to remember and use.
Yeah.
Too.
And also the fact that all of this information is an incredible gift, but how many women did this before all of the information, mm-hmm. right? And what did they yeah. do? Like they just relied on their instincts and their moms and people just in their circle in their mm-hmm. life that they watch. And I sometimes don't think that we were built to consume this much information and to know this many mm-hmm. stories and this many experiences. I don't think we were built to know what was going on in the entire world at all times, mm-hmm. you know? And so I think that giving yourself a breather, giving yourself a break, like I think it's incredible you're taking a maternity leave. I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. And I so wish I had of. I think I was recording a podcast 2 days postpartum. Like while
I remember seeing you guys. I remember seeing you guys posting so soon after. I was like, oh my goodness, how? And yeah. I mean, I definitely want to share, because that is a time that you want to share your experience. And
but I think there's a difference between just sharing to share and sharing mm-hmm. because you have to. Because mm-hmm. with what we do, so often there's a partnership attached or there's a brand or there's this or there's that or there's a schedule to keep. And so for us, I think that, again, we gave birth in November as well. And just it's kind of, I feel like, common knowledge that influencers, right? It's such a weird word. I always hate when people ask me, like, what do you
do? I know, I always cringe.
It's like, oh, I almost want to be like, I work in marketing, you know?
When I talk to random people, I'm like, oh yeah, I work in social media. Yeah. They're like, oh, what do you do? And then I'm like, okay, now I actually
I'm like, please don't ask a follow-up. I feel like it's a little easier now that like podcasts are such a thing. I'll be like, we have a podcast or we have multiple podcasts in this. And I feel like that's a little more.
It just sounds better than saying I make YouTube videos for some reason. Even though I know it's so normal now. I'm like, everyone does it, but.
It is. It just is a very funny thing to say. But anyways, common knowledge. I feel like November, December, around the holidays, it's like, okay, well, brands are spending more money because it's the holidays. And so there's a big push. And so obviously it's when we make more money. And it's like, okay, well, this helps us get through the lull of the beginning of the year, right? And so it's just most businesses go through seasons that have ups and have downs. And this just happens to be a bigger up for our season. And I just, I remember in my head saying no and giving ourselves a limit. And then certain things would come in and we're like, okay, well, this feels like a blessing because this is great for our family and all of the things. But then again, it's like, it was hard because it's like, first off, you don't know exactly when you're going to give birth. And so that was hard for me because I'm like, okay, well, maybe I can get a couple things done beginning of November, right before birth. And then, but what happens if it, and so it's tough. And so,
but at that point you're like 39 weeks for me, I'll be 39 weeks pregnant. And like, it's just hard to be doing this kind of job. The further along I get, because physically you can only do so much. And even the other day I had something come through and they were like, okay, let's set up this collaboration for November. And I was like, what did I take for November? And it was something I had signed back in February before I knew I was pregnant. Oh, and I'm like, oh my goodness. But thankfully most people are flexible with stuff like that. But that's funny hearing your process because I have had that exact same where I'm like, okay, this is what I think I can handle, and you just don't know what you can or can't do. And then stuff starts coming in, you're like, but this seems like a blessing, so we'll accept it. And that's why I'm thankful Aiden's so removed from it, because he can just be like, no, this is too much. You don't need this. I think it's the thing of, I kind of realized I had a scarcity mindset with a lot of this, like, oh, but what if other stuff doesn't come in? And I'm like, do you really believe that? Do you not trust that God's going to provide through every single season?
No, it's honestly,
but it's hard.
It's something that Chad and I have had this conversation so many times, because I feel like I came into our marriage with very much a scarcity mindset, because I grew up not worrying about money. And then it wasn't like we were like crazy rich or anything. It was just, that was not something I ever worried about. You know what I mean? And, and then in college, my parents separated and I like kind of went on my own financially. Then it was like, oh, now I'm learning what money means. And then I graduated and then I'm like, oh, okay, now I'm really learning what money means. And then like lost the first big girl job and then started working at a nonprofit making like not even close to as much. So I had to work like four jobs to just pay my bills. And that was when Chad and I started dating, was when I was literally working like four jobs, barely making ends meet, and then moved out to LA. Granted, I had started my business in that time, so technically it was five jobs. And
oh my goodness.
Crazy. And then I was doing social media like management for other women who were starting their businesses. And long story short, it did really well in Tampa. I like had a formula, like a system where I'm like, okay, women in their 40s, 50s that are empty nesters and starting certain businesses, they don't know the ins and outs of social media. So I was doing a lot of like consulting on the side, just showing them how they could utilize the platform and everything else. And then I move out to LA and I'm also helping them take content, etc. Well, then I move out to LA and everyone does social media. And so I'm like, I have no formula out here. Like, I am a very small fish in a very big pond. And it just wasn't realistic to keep all of the clients I had because I could no longer take content for them. And so then I felt like, okay, I had saved this money. I was making this much. Now I'm making even less. And then right before the wedding, I was taking on less work because we had so much going on. And so I really did feel like coming into marriage, I had to really get rid of, I guess it's pride, where I'm like, well, what am I bringing to the quote unquote table here? You know? And I struggled with that. Especially when we were like merging our bank accounts and everything else. I think it took me a long time to be like, this is our money. Like it was just different. And Chad was modeling full time at that time. We weren't doing like social media brand work or anything like that. And he was only working a couple days a month because his day rate was really great. And that's like a working full time model only had to work like maybe a week out of the month. And so but it was fantastic. It was great for our family. But then we got married and all of a sudden no work came through. Like, zip zada nothing, and we had just paid for our honeymoon, like we had just paid for so much of the wedding, and then it's expensive to live in LA, and we're like, oh my goodness, what are we about to do? Our car got totaled by a drunk and high driver. There was so much going on. It just felt like, what in the world is even happening? And then God just tied like such a beautiful bow. Like, we got blessed with a vehicle from our friends. I started looking into social media, like to actually make money. And I just remember like that very first like story brand deal. I was like, oh my goodness, like I can make money doing this. And it was so wild. But honestly, how is that transition for you? Because you started doing social media very young, and you worked at a social media like agency, right? But you were still doing social media. So you really had like the eye on both ends of everything. How was that?
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, I really liked working at that agency for that time because it was so much fun working with coworkers and I had only ever done YouTube before. Yeah, going in an office, I was in New York City. It really felt like a TV show or something. Yeah. I was working in Tribeca and loved all the girls that I worked with. It was like an all women agency. It was so much fun. But I think that part of me took that job because I didn't trust to take YouTube full time, because at the time I had just graduated college. And it's crazy. I think that a lot of people feel that pressure from their parents of, you know, you can't do this freelance job. It's not reliable. You need to do something steady. But my parents, especially my dad, because my dad has seen the industry, was like, why don't you just try to take it full time and just run with it and see where it goes? But I really didn't trust that I would be able to make it a thing. And so I took that job, and I don't regret it by any means, because I know it was a part of my story, and it also made me really appreciate doing YouTube and how big of a blessing it's been to be able to create my own schedule. Yeah. And for me, I really do love just the creative side of it. I think that it's so much fun putting together these videos and getting to create a community online. It's amazing. It's the biggest blessing. I'm so thankful to be able to do it. But I think if I hadn't taken that job, I probably would have taken it for granted more because I didn't realize what it actually looked like working a 9-to-5. I say 9-to-5, but it was more a lot of hours. Yeah. It was hard work too. And I loved it. And so I ended up transitioning back to just doing YouTube. I say just doing YouTube. It's a lot of work, as you guys know too. Yeah.
Well, I think what people don't see, and I'd love for you to speak into this too, because I feel like a lot of people just think that we like sit at our house and like set up a camera, you know, and they don't know all the ins and outs and the creative, like mentally draining aspect of it sometimes, because to come up with an idea for two different videos every single week of your life, come up with the title, make it creative, make it different than every other video you're recording, make it inspirational, make it encouraging, make it real, let them in. But also don't forget, you still need to show up on Instagram a couple times a day so that people have a window into your life. And then also let's add a podcast on top of it. And now Chad and I are a little crazy. We're like, let's add a daily podcast on top of it and then a weekly podcast on top of it.
And then short form content, because now you have to be making reels. Yes. I mean, I'm not even on TikTok, but you add
we're not on TikTok either.
It is just, it's a lot. I think that's probably my biggest struggle with it, is just always having to come up with the fresh new ideas.
Yeah.
I think the kind of content that I create and you guys create too, Aiden always says that we're playing for like the long game. Like you're not trying to create these like clickbait, you know,
viral videos. Yeah.
Yeah. These videos that you're really trying to go viral. But of course it is a balance of you want things to perform well, because it is also your job. But I have just found, I think it's really sweet. Most of the 95% women, I would say, who watch my videos, my demographics are very, very obvious.
So are ours. Yeah.
They've really just grown. Yeah. Yeah. They've really just grown up with me because I've been doing this for so long. And so especially stepping into motherhood, it's been so much fun sharing all the pregnancy stuff, because so many other women are also pregnant right now and also going through the same journey. And even some that aren't, they're like, I'm not planning on, you know, having kids for years, but it's so much fun. I've been watching you since middle school to see you grow up. And I think that's the most special part about it. And meeting people in real life too is just a whole nother thing that's so sweet. Makes it all feel so much more real.
Yeah. Meeting people in person is 100%, I feel like, the sweetest part of the job. Mm-hmm. I was literally just at the dentist this morning, and one of the women walked up, and her daughter is, she watches Chad and I, and she was actually at the office because she's, I think, studying dental hygiene or something like that. And she was like, it was so funny because your husband was in here yesterday and my daughter came in freaking out because she watches you guys on YouTube. And she's had a really rough fertility journey. She's been trying for 7 years, and she's just been really encouraged by your story and watching God, you know, with your second miracle. And it was just so cool to hear that and see that and learn her name and know her story and know how I can be praying for her. And it really, I mean, that's why I truly feel like when we got pregnant with Micah, there were people around the entire world praying for him. And it felt like it wasn't just a win for Chad and I. Like, it felt like such a group testimony. It was the most surreal, like, crazy feeling. And even to this day, when I'm like rocking Micah to sleep, I'm like, you have no idea how many prayers were answered with your life. And it will literally make me cry. And I'm like, that only happened because of social media. Like, how crazy that God would use this platform in such a way to unite his body. And there's people that have met like through our page that now live together or are roommates. They're people who literally just got married. They're people who are dating. Like, it is the craziest, coolest thing to like see the community that God can bring out of social media, which can totally be used for darkness. But like, that's why I feel so called to be on the platform, because I'm like, okay, well, if we're not on the platform, if we're not spreading light on the platform, then these young girls, they're going to be on the platform. Like, they're going to be on YouTube. They're going to be on Instagram. Where are they getting their information? You know what I mean? Like, who are they looking to for what they're supposed to be living for, right? Like, because there's so many messages. I was literally just reading in Ephesians, one second, this morning, and it was just talking about living as children of the light. And there is this this verse, I think it's chapter 4:14, it says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. And I love that because it's just like, okay, the only way we're not going to be influenced by the world and all of the messaging is if we are secure and rooted in the truth. And it's like, okay, we'll only be rooted and secure in the truth if we know the truth, if we're in the word, if we're honestly just very careful about who we follow and who we're listening to. I've recently even had like a super conviction about like the shows I watch, you know, because it's just like, man, you don't think it's that bad. And I mean, I literally just like, there was this funny, it was like a 90s rom-com. It like wasn't even anything. Like you just think it's so wholesome. And there's this funny little intro to it. It has like this little song and it was funny. It like came on and Micah just like was watching it and it almost seemed like he zoned out to watch it. And then I became very aware of the words of the song and I was like, Oh no. Like this is like words have power, the power of life and death. And so, and then I realized that that song, like I'll catch songs in my head and they'll just play over and over in my head.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, no, this is not what I want. Like playing in my head. Like this is like, I can't pray without ceasing. Like if this keeps running through my head, I'm like, Lord, take it out of my head. But sometimes it's so hard. And so I'm like, I have to be so cautious and so careful about what I'm listening to, what I'm watching, who I'm taking advice from, because I'm like, okay, I don't want to take advice from people who I don't see like fruit in their life, or if I wouldn't want my life to look like their life, like then why am I going to take advice? And I think that sounds harsh. Sometimes people are like, okay, Tori. But I think it's genuinely true. Like, why would I take mothering advice from someone where I'm like, I don't see fruit in the way you're mothering your children?
Yeah, I know. That's especially with motherhood, too. I'm really thankful that so many of our friends and the people in our life have been such positive influences about children. And I mean, I always say like about having children young. I'm 25. I feel like that's not even young. But I think that there's also this message of just wait to do this until later on in your life, which that's fine. I think everyone's story is totally different, but you know, you can kind of hear that voice creep into your head of, am I missing out on things because it's about to be a big part of my life? And it's like, no, absolutely not. Yeah. And I'm like you where sometimes I'll just realize that Aiden and I were just talking about this, that we just always have a podcast in our ears. We always have a YouTube video in our watching something in the morning. And something I've been trying to embrace is just more silence. And even like when I walk Cash, our golden retriever, I always think about when I'm walking a baby in a stroller, I don't want him to see me always on my phone or always having these. And it really does make you more mindful, I think, you know, having children and thinking about wanting to be a good example for them, especially with, like you were mentioning, shows and movies. Like that stuff really does influence us a lot.
Yeah. Well, and too, like with babies, like it's been tough with Micah because if I'm on my phone, he wants my phone and I can tell he doesn't act as well if I'm on my phone. And so it's very hard to like show up on social media, especially just like Instagram stories and showing the daily life, like, you know, the hour by hour life. I feel like I only really story when he's down for naps or like down for bed sometimes, unless I just like take a cute photo of him or something. But I was literally talking to my friend about this. I'm like, wait, just recently, because there was a season where he really loved FaceTime and my mom lives 6 hours away. Mm-hmm. And so I would FaceTime her in the morning because I have like mornings by myself with Micah and I let Chad sleep because Micah's like a super early riser. And and so I just FaceTime Don and it was like this cute little moment and he would kind of crawl to the FaceTime and it was super cute. But then as he got more active and more mobile, then he wants to grab the phone. And then when I go to take the phone back, he would lose it. And I was like, okay, we're not going to be that kid. And then it just is like this very crazy thing where I'm like, what is it about the cell phone that like makes you a different child? Because like when I take the cell phone, it's different than anything else. And I'm like,
It's almost like they're made to be addictive. And I'm like, he's so young too. You think about that maybe with like a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old, but it's like not even babies, our friend. Yeah. We always say that she's just drawn to it. And so I'm like, okay, we're putting the phones away, but it's so nice being around children. Cause then you are off your phone more too. And
it makes
Maybe we should all live like this.
Yeah. And it's like, man, how much of childhood is being robbed because we didn't have to deal with this when we were kids. Like, there wasn't cell phones. And so I think there's so much beauty. There's so much we can gain, but I think that there truly does have to be so much intention behind it where it's like, there is so often, like even last night before I was going to bed, I was like, oh, I'm just going to like check my DMs real quick. And then it's like, then I end up scrolling, then I end up on Explore and then I'm doing this and then another DM comes and it's like, 45 minutes went by. I put my phone back up and I was like, I could have had 45 extra minutes of sleep. I could have read this book that's on my nightstand that like brings me life and revelation. And instead I gained nothing. And it's like, we'll say like, oh, I'm just going to do it to relax. And we think it's going to like fill us up. And instead I like feel drained. I'm like, why? What even just happened? Like literally what did I do? I was so mindless for that time. And so I think that me personally, especially with Micah the age he is and with baby two coming, like I'm gonna have to set a little bit of better boundaries with just certain apps where it's like, okay, like it's not evil, I just need to have more intention behind it to be like, okay, I'm gonna get on for a purpose and I'm gonna have a time limit and like when that's done, it's done, and I take a step back and then I live presently in my own life, because I truly believe that the enemy like wants us numbed out, like wants us not present and wants us not thinking. And if we can't think for ourselves, then he's winning. And so it's like, no, I need to have an actual sober mind. I need a clear mind. And so, I can go off on a long.
Do you feel like this is totally like off topic, but I've been wondering, do you feel like this pregnancy has been different versus with Micah?
So different.
I think that y'all have kind of teased that it has been, but I'm like, I'm curious.
Yes, it's been different. And I can't decide if I feel like it's different because like maybe it's a girl, or if I feel like it's different because I learned what worked with Micah when I was nauseous. And I just immediately, when I found out I was pregnant, like I got the preggy pops and I got the nausea calm and I got the Unisom, cause I struggle with like severe insomnia when I am pregnant. And so,
I'm like, this is the time everyone says sleep now before the baby comes. I'm like, this is the worst sleep of my life.
It's crazy.
Trying to roll over too, as you get bigger, it's just peeing all throughout the night.
I didn't struggle with the pee. I would only pee like once a night, but it was once I wake up. And so like if Micah has an off night and he wakes up once, like he woke up once last night, he's pretty good about sleeping through the night, but just randomly, like he'll just wake up. And so I went and I like gave him a bottle and put him right back down. I mean, it was all of like 5 minutes, right? It wasn't like a big deal. But then I was up for an hour and a half. Like I could not go back to sleep. And so it's like once I wake up, I like can't go back to sleep. And so that's tough. Especially if I don't take a Unisom, and I'm very like, I don't want to take it every night. And so I'm like picky and choosy. I'm like, okay, I'll take it this, cause I don't have to have like super energy in the morning, or like he ate really well, so I'm pretty sure he'll sleep through the night. It's very interesting, but it's been different because I was so, so sick with Micah before I found out we were pregnant with Micah. And then with Micah, I was nauseous like all day. Like I just felt like I always kind of had this underlying nausea. And I had really crazy aversions with mica. Like the thought of red sauce for a couple weeks was like, so nauseating.
That's so funny.
And then with this pregnancy, I wasn't sick at all when we found out. And so I didn't even feel pregnant at all, which was weird. Mm-hmm. I felt more emotionally unstable this time where I actually was telling a friend of mine, I'm struggling more with frustration than I ever have. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I'll get frustrated in moments that I can't control. And that's just nothing. I've never struggled with like anger or frustration. Like I'll go straight from like happy to crying. Like I'll cry, but like frustrated is not really my, my thing. And so that's been a little bit weird. I feel like my skin hasn't been as good this pregnancy. Like my chin has broken out more. Yeah,
which they say is girls.
Yeah, and then yeah, and so what else is different? I'm only really nauseous in the morning, and then like around 6 p.m. I'll get nauseous for like 30 minutes. It's so weird.
That's not bad though. I'm like, I would take that. Mine was because I had always heard that it's morning sickness. And so I was like, why am I sick throughout the entire day if it's morning sickness?
Yep. Yeah. But and I remember, I was like, I thought this was just going to be in the morning. And why at 2 p.m. do I feel so terrible? And so this one's just in the morning. If I don't eat right away, if I wait too long, I'll throw up. Or if I like think about what I'm eating sometimes, like this is so gross, but like I'll be eating eggs, but then I'll like think about the fact that I'm eating eggs and I'll gross myself out about it. And then I'll literally go throw it up.
And you just like can't finish it.
No, I'm like, bye. I gotta go throw up right now. Like I've had moments where Michael will be in his high chair right beside me and I'm like, oh no, like I have to throw up right now. And so I'll literally just go to the sink that's right there in the kitchen and throw up. And the first time he's like, thinking I'm trying to make him laugh. So he's like laughing at me as I'm throwing up. And I'm like, okay, well, it's better than him crying and like thinking I'm dying. But I've actually thrown up more week 13, the end of week 13, 14, and 15 than I did at all. Like I think I threw up three times, literally three times in the first trimester. That's it. Which was way less than with Micah. And then, and it's super random. Like, it's one of those where I'm not nauseous at all, and then all of a sudden I'm nauseous, I'm going to throw up. And then I throw up and I'm fine.
Yeah.
It's very strange. Oh my goodness,
it's crazy. Because I feel like by week 15, that's when mine started getting better.
Yeah.
I definitely felt more like myself, had the energy coming back. But when I hear women who have the nausea and fatigue throughout their entire pregnancy, I'm like, I just gave you major creds because
I'm not feeling, I feel like I'm feeling a little bit more of the energy now. Like I'm not feeling as fatigued as I did.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like that first trimester, I'm like, I need to take a nap literally right now. And so that's been a little bit different.
You guys have just had so much going on too. I feel like you have no option but to have energy, but all good things. I'm so excited to see the move and the new place y'all pick. It's
crazy.
And life in Tennessee is so exciting.
I know. The big prayer is that we just get into the new house by Christmas. So if you want to pray for anything.
Yeah, I saw that in your video. It's like, I feel like that's a good plan.
Yes. There's lots of stuff happening that is kind of, we can't share yet because nothing is like confirmed or signed, et cetera. And so it's a very weird season because I'm sure, as you know, when your life is so public and you just want to share everything, but it's like, oh, contractually, I don't think we can share certain things right now.
Yeah. And so especially like, with like selling a house too.
Yeah. It's very strange. But I'm also realizing how long we've been talking. This happens every time. I feel like I literally could keep talking for so long. Like I have so many more questions.
Oh yeah. You're talking about us. I thought you were talking about how long you guys have been talking about the move. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Hey, It's a conversation, you
Exactly, exactly.
know?
Oh my goodness. But I do want to honor your time. I want to give you just a second for you to say like where people can find you and what you're up to, et cetera, outside of about to, you know, birth a child. So
yeah, I know sometimes I'm like, oh my goodness, all I've talked about is being pregnant, but that's the only thing on my mind right now. I'm having a child, our first child in under a month.
Yes.
But yeah, you can find me over on YouTube. I post twice a week. I do a lot of lifestyle content here in Dallas, and that may switch to once a week. It'll also be paused for a little bit, obviously, for baby reasons. But I'm also on Instagram at Michelle Reed, too. That's also my YouTube channel, Michelle Reed. So they can
Amazing.
Find me. Both those spots.
I literally always put your vlogs on after Micah goes down for bed and I'm like winding Aww. Down for the night. Like it's the perfect
oh, I
cozy,
love that.
Like your vlogs are just so relaxing. I feel like I don't miss a Aww. Vlog. I'm always like, oh, Michelle posted. So let me watch this while Aww. I'm like doing my thing or when I'm putting my makeup on in the morning. Like I have the little yep. sticky thing on my phone, like on the back. And so I'll literally
I need
like
to get
stick
one
it.
Of those.
Yes. They're so convenient. I'll just stick it to my mirror and I'm like, hi, Michelle. Just do my makeup.
Yeah. Oh, that makes me happy. That's always the goal, just to feel cozy and at peace. So
you do it so well. I don't know how you get all the camera
Thank
angles
you.
That you do and think about all the shots that you do. Like Chad and I yeah. always laugh that we're the worst vloggers in the world because we just don't
no.
think about it. We just don't think about setting up the camera. But I feel like it just comes second nature to you.
No, it's a ton of fun. I really enjoy it. I am a little curious to see how it evolves with having the baby here soon because
yeah.
for one I'm not sure like how much he's going to be a part of it but
Chad just popped in to say he
we'll
does
see.
Think about it. He literally is
so
listening
funny.
Outside the door because we just...
I was wondering where he was. I figured he was like down there with Micah or wherever
Micah is sleeping but
Aww.
No just for our listeners out there Chad just wanted to pop in because Michelle and I were like, we're going to keep this around 30 minutes. And, you know, so Chad's probably been up here for the last 30 minutes, just at the door waiting for us to finish.
Yeah.
Cause he's like the tech guy.
Like, okay, wrap
everything
this
down.
Up.
Oh,
so
well,
funny.
I love you so much. And thank you for coming on Talks
oh,
with
I love
Tori.
You too, Tori.
It's been a blessing and we'll have to do another episode postpartum when you're feeling
totally.
Back at it and all of the things because I'm so excited to hear
I would love that
your birth experience and postpartum and
I
how
know.
Motherhood's gonna be and so I'm so excited
I'm
for
so
you.
Excited to send you all the late night texts hopefully
yes.
you'll be sleeping through the night but
well come
yeah,
April I won't be so, but text me anyway text me anyway because I
for sure.
have insomnia so I'm probably up for a different reason
For sure.
All right, girl.
Thanks
well,
for
I
having
love
me,
you.
Though, Tori. This is awesome.
I love you. Talk soon.
Bye.
Okay, you guys. Thank you for tuning in. I know this was a longer episode, but I feel like when Michelle and I get together, we just cannot stop talking. We probably could have ran on for 4 hours. But anyways, make sure to go find her over on social, show her some love, be in prayer over her and her birth process and postpartum. She is just a true treasure. And as always, don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a rating if you have a chance, and leave your email below in the description if you want to be in the know. And as always, we will see you guys next Tuesday at 2:00.